RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay, and with me, as always, is my faithful sidekick, Josh. How you doing? You're my Robin. You're Robin to my Batman. You're Speedy to my Arrow. You're Daniel Stripe a Tiger to my King Friday. Welcome, welcome, Josh.
Wait a minute. I'm the sidekick. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's traditionally, because I say I'm your host, you know, I'm first, and so, like, you know, you're the guy on the couch, you know, you move down one when we have a guest, and...
Okay, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that. I was thinking more of the, you know, the Superman, and you were like Wonder Dog, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay. I'll be happy to be Marvin, and you can be Wendy.
Okay,
so
I'll think about that one.
Hang on, we can discuss this in just a second. Let me finish the intro here. So,
you interrupted
the vibe.
Need to get into that. Sorry about that.
So, that's okay. And you discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. This week, my trusty sidekick Josh here is going to tell us what we're going to cover.
Yeah, see that was like a sidekick mistake, is losing the flow through the intro, but that's okay. We'll keep working through that. I've got some training ideas for you.
Oh, okay.
We better get to the show here. This week we're talking about episode 6 from season 3. Guilty,
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 guilty.
Yes.
He's so guilty.
He is. He's somebody's guilty. I'm not entirely sure who it was in this episode, but somebody is guilty.
I was waiting for Oprah to come out. You're guilty, you're guilty, and you're guilty.
Everybody's guilty. Actually, I think that's almost true. Everybody just about is guilty.
Everybody is guilty of something. Yeah. No, that is true.
Guilty aired November 12th of 2014. It was written by Eric Olson and Kito Shimizu, directed by Peter Leto. And, you know, this really, for the first time this season, I feel it really kind of put a little bit more focus on Roy. Roy hasn't been given the love much this season. He's been kind of a background story for us to speculate on. So,
well, he's like a sidekick.
He is. He is very, yeah, I can see why you would relate to that. And you can see how he'd associate being a sidekick. But anyway, Roy, he really needs to take some nighttime Speedy jumping, wheezing, falling, killing, punch your head, Mirakuru, so you can rest medicine. Or he's just never going to get any sleep. You know, those dreams and visions of him killing Sarah are happening even now when he's awake. So he has Felicity test him for any signs that it was truly him doing this or if it was just a dream. And what she found was a little bit incriminating. And you know, Oliver, he may just have to do something about it, because that's what he does, you know. So can you understand that? That's kind of what the leader gets in there and does, has to take care of his team. But
No, I know. I know what the leader does. I mean, you know, they prep the show notes. They, you know, they watch the episode. They come up with the references, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay. All right. Well, boy, you do that, don't you? So Oliver
doesn't focus.
He doesn't have time for that right now. He's got to focus on catching whoever's killing large groups of gang members and magician's assistants. Well, okay, just one magician's assistant, but you get the idea. It's not good. It's not good. But the problem, one of the many problems, is that the killer might just be Laurel's new boxing trainer and vigilante professor, Ted Grant. Maybe not, though. As it turns out, Grant's former sidekick in his vigilante days is the one setting him up. And Oliver just he's going to need to utilize maybe an arsenal to stop him. You see what I did there?
But, nice. That was good. I like that.
But Roy is going to be there for his team in the final battle. It is sidekick versus sidekick in a battle to see who's, you know, let's see, Oliver, Let's see, then there was Ted Wildcat. Third best.
Third best. I was worried about those guys and the it wasn't a gym. I guess it was like a warehouse at the beginning. I thought they were doing way too much heroin. They got really strung up. it was bad. So good write up, Josh. That was really good.
Oh, thank
you so much.
Thank you. Did you like it?
I liked it a lot, I appreciate the work that you do here on the show.
I do crave your approval. So, but
all right, we've got a little bit of news here. Hey, you want to do you want to cover this first piece here that you had found this this discussion, and there was some interesting stuff in it. I just didn't have a chance to take a look at it.
That's right, I did find it. And well, actually, I discovered there's a YouTube show that they have on after each week's Arrow, and they
I don't know how they do all this kind of stuff, but
I know, beats me.
Where do they? I mean, like, where do people find the time?
I have no idea. I mean, you watch the show. That's like an hour right there out of your week. It takes a lot of time. You know, I can't imagine like planning, talking about it, and then sitting down and talking about it for a while. But no, these guys, you know, they do a pretty good show. I think it's a guy and two ladies from what I saw in this episode. But they had a special guest this week. Stephen Amell joined them. So I'm sure.
So they don't normally have guests, I guess.
I don't think so. At least not always.
Good. Well, because I was going, man, how does Stephen do that every week between everything else?
Yeah, but no, this is the first time he's been on it. And I'm sure his schedule was just a little busy to come hang with us that night. You know, I mean,
I mean, that's what he texted me.
He was out of town. Yeah.
Right.
So, but,
I was trying to set that up.
it's called the Arrow After Show. Pretty decent little, discussion. They had some, strong opinions, and they weren't afraid to share them with Stephen Amell. And, he wasn't afraid to kind of share some of his thoughts. So I just wanted to point out just a couple little things that I thought was interesting that he said. One of them was about something we've been talking about every so often here is about the villain of the week. Mm-hmm. I know there's been some people, I think on our Facebook page, somebody mentioned something about that and what's wrong with that. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it, but it can get very formulaic. Stephen said something very similar, how he said they really try to avoid the villain of the week because they like for the story to flow. But when you have so many episodes, it's kind of a necessity to have something like that every once in a while. But they try really hard to make it compatible to what he called the through line of the story, which goes along with what we've said they've done very successfully, I think.
Right. The through line being like the main story that takes up the season, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and somehow it's connected to that, or at least pushes them along either through their characters or through the overall plot of the season.
Okay.
So he was kind of agreeing with me and you, of course. So,
great.
the other thing they did mention, they noticed the Arrow title card has changed this season. The hosts were actually thinking it may be changed more often, but Stephen pointed out that it has changed once each season and that it will continue to change. But he didn't really embellish anything more than that. So I don't know if it is connected to anything, but
it's all connected.
Yeah, I think so too. And then there was one other thing which two other little things that were kind of tied together, but they mentioned Diggle getting a costume, which I think you and I talked about last week. And this was kind of interesting. This had not occurred to me, so I wanted to mention it. Stephen said that in order to really have a costume, you have to go through a crucible. And I think that's sort of like I don't know what that would be like your
it's your Jedi trials.
Yeah, kind of like, but I mean, like, I don't know if it wouldn't be like your reward. You know, getting a costume wouldn't necessarily be your reward, but it's sort of your
is consolation. I don't know.
I guess I'm not sure, but I can see that. And Diggle hasn't really gone through a crucible with them. He went through a crucible when he was in the military.
Right.
And so
that's what I was going to say. I mean, he's been through a lot, but not with the team as such.
Right. And you know, so he said, but Stephen Amell said that he really does think that Diggle needs a costume, though. So I'm hoping that he gets something, just, you know, besides what I call a ski mask. And
the balaclava.
Yeah. And then finally they addressed the where's he getting his money issue.
And yeah, where is he getting his money?
I thought this answer was hilarious, and it was perfect. And he's absolutely right. He goes, you know, when a billionaire goes broke, he still has like $4 million. You know, it's not like everything was tied up in one thing. So,
sure.
I really liked his answer too. That he was, I think he's answered that more than once because he was very quick with the wit. But so it's a good little interview.
Cool.
If you don't want to check it out, it's called The Arrow After Show. It was on YouTube. But
so they produce it directly for YouTube then. It's not like on a station or something, I guess.
No, I don't think so. I think it was just like a YouTube channel and they do the little video. They're all sitting on a couch, you know, with a big Arrow poster in the background.
I watched a little clip. I mean, it looks very professionally done. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, so. Yeah, it looked nice. I think these guys are. From what I gathered, the guy works for maybe Entertainment Weekly or something like that, or some kind of magazine. So, pretty good insight. I liked listening to Stephen Amell talk about the show because he is so passionate about it.
And this was the one specifically for Guilty, correct? If people want to check it out,
correct.
Okay. Also, we mentioned this last month, but don't forget to check out Stephen Amell's page for No Shave November on the Movember website. He and his Justache League of North America have raised $10,000 so far for men's health issues, which is really cool.
That is cool.
Are you growing a mustache?
I am not.
Can you grow a mustache?
I can. I choose not to. I've got other facial hair, so I grow that. That counts, right?
Eyebrows?
Yeah, eyelashes. Ears, that kind of thing. Ear.
Yeah. Okay. The wonders of getting old.
Yes.
Yeah, I can grow, I don't know, I tend to grow out about maybe for a week, and then everything gets so itchy, it's like I can't stand it. I feel like I want to claw my face off. So I don't know how, like, if I was Tom Hanks and I was stuck on an island, I mean, I would probably just go insane. Because I'd be
from your
itching.
Mustache.
Yeah.
We almost rescued him in time. Look, you can see his mustache is about a half an inch long.
And then we also want to remind you guys, we've had a number of people tweet and like us for the book we're trying to get Stephen Amell to write, but we need more people to check out our page in Facebook. We'll put up the link again. We have a thread that got started over on Stephen Amell's Facebook page. We have the direct link to that. But we want you to remind Stephen via Twitter or Facebook that he needs to help write a book called Sorry Little Kitty, You Have Failed This City, you know, for the kids. And we think this would be great. Make sure to tag Green Justice Podcast or at Green Justice Pod, which is our Twitter handle. Let's see if we can get some more people liking and commenting on this and really bring it to his attention. Because at this point, he probably just has not seen it, but we got to get it, you know, enough people on the thread that it kind of percolates up to the top of his page views or whatever on his site so he can see it.
Yes, he'll think it's a brilliant idea. I think it's a brilliant idea.
I think it's going to be great, and you know, we can help the billionaire get his money back with this. I think it's a great fundraiser idea. There you go.
He needs more than $4 million. It's very expensive to be a vigilante.
He makes his own arrows and stuff like that. I mean, that's, you know, just the metal alone is going to cost you money, I'm sure.
He gets it off Amazon. He's got Amazon Prime, so it's okay. He saves himself some money on shipping.
All right, so let's get into the episode here called Guilty, which I was trying to think, like, what does this title have to do with anything in the episode? But then I realized that there was the word guilty written around on the floor. And we were talking about all sorts of different characters and whether or not they are rightfully accused of doing what they supposedly have done. So let's examine who is guilty. And the question we were left with at the end of last week is Roy guilty? Let's revisit what your thoughts were when you saw the end of the Secret Origin of Felicity Smoke when Roy threw the arrows at Sarah.
Okay.
Did you really think he was guilty at that point?
No. No, I didn't.
Okay.
But again, I sort of fall victim to always believing the best in our heroes, which
okay.
you know, generally, from a storyline point of view, generally turns out to be pretty true. I've been burned on it in certain times, believing that that person was a good, let's see, Lost comes to mind.
Yeah.
See, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. I'm still not sure about Agent Ward, but,
yeah,
but, in this one, you know, first of all, I was, pleasantly surprised to, find that the title actually did have a little bit deeper meaning, this week. That hasn't really happened as much this season as we saw in the past, especially last season. Almost every single one had this sort of, not a hidden message, but it was very, there was many different meanings to the title, and this one, even though it's just the one word, I think it was really applicable to a lot of different things this time.
Yeah, this episode, it had a message, and you know, and kind of in a good way. I mean, there were a lot of characters that were exploring the same. Everybody had kind of the same problem thrust on them, and each character had to look at it from their own perspective and make their own choices about how to proceed, which I thought was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I too, I think as we talked about last week, did not believe that Roy actually did it. I had a crazy theory at the time that he was actually under the influence of either like Mirakuru or Vertigo, or he was being mind controlled by Argus, again, with maybe some of, you know, Vertigo or Mirakuru or something like that. And
I don't think that's such a crazy theory.
Well, okay. I mean, it maybe to the casual observer. How about that?
Okay, sure.
I mean, that is probably not as crazy as some of the other ones, other theories that I've had. And I tweeted a new theory before this episode aired. Again, I feel like each week, like as I speculate and think about the episode throughout the week, Wednesday night, right before the episode, I tweet out the new theory and see what's going on. So we also had talked about a number of people thought that Shadow might have been alive, which I thought was really interesting. And we saw that someone brought to our attention that Andrew Kreisberg tweeted out that he says, look who we ran into it at the office today. And it was
Selena Jade.
Is it Selena Jade?
Uh-huh. And right. That was Ollie Verdant on our Facebook page that posted that.
Okay. Yeah, Ollie Verdant's got a lot of cool little images and ideas that they post on our Facebook page, which is really cool. There's a nice one about why Thea's midriff is out. We can discuss that later, too. But I thought the Shadow idea was really interesting, but I didn't see a good through line for that. So my new theory is that obviously Roy was not guilty, but he felt that he was. I mean, which I think is important. I mean, and he is actually guilty of something.
Well, I think he was starting to suspect himself because he kept seeing it so much, dreaming about it so much. So he started to wonder,
Yeah, he was thinking it was true because he just kept revisiting it.
Yeah, and if you think about it, that, I mean, you know, because he knows what he, you know, not necessarily knows everything he did, but he knows that he had Mirakuru and that he was doing some things that he wasn't aware of. And I would second guess myself, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was under the influence of something that, you know, he just was not himself. So, but my new theory is, which seems to be semi-proven by things that Felicity said. Again, I came up with this before I watched the episode. My theory is that Waller is still behind everything. I'm still sticking with that as kind of my overall season theory because she's the one pulling the strings in the flashbacks. And I feel she's the one pulling the strings in the present day as well. But I think that she released Slade from Leanne Yu and sent him to Starling to kill Sarah to get at Oliver, which would also satisfy Slade's need for revenge. And I was talking to some people at work, and they're like, yeah, but Slade wouldn't have stood still for that. He would want to announce himself. And I'm like, yeah, but Waller's got this whole arsenal of bombs in people's heads with the Suicide Squad and everything like that. So,
yeah, I don't,
you know, maybe she,
I don't
keep him quiet.
She has ways of convincing people to do stuff.
Sure.
I certainly wouldn't doubt that she had the ability to convince Slade. What was it? You said that there were some stuff that Felicity analyzed and said that kind of gave you evidence towards Slade Wilson. What kind of stuff was it?
Well, so she was in this, and then, so again, that my theory came out before, and then I was watching the episode, and I'm like, okay, well, if Roy didn't do it, Felicity is still saying that the blood test she ran on the corpse or whatever sample she had on the arrows were not conclusively pointing away from Roy. So if he was injected with Mirakuru, like, who else would have Mirakuru in them? She said that the arrow strikes in the body were not consistent with a normal person firing from a bow, so that they could have been thrown by a Mirakuru strong person. Well, that's Slade as well. It was also someone that Sarah knew. Now, people have said to me, well, but if she saw Slade, wouldn't she be more like, oh my God, what are you doing here? But if you watch the scene again, I feel that you could attribute her speech, what she says, and the way she says it. So think about who would be standing there, you know, if it was, let's say, Laurel standing there, and, you know, she says something. It's like, well, would that match? Or, you know, even if Slade was there, there's some tone in it that I think could work. Someone on Twitter thought that, you know, they heard a bow. But I don't know that I was hearing a bow. I might have just been hearing the sound of the arrows whizzing. And again, with all the stuff that Felicity said, that she really couldn't disprove Roy did it.
Maybe he was just going, phew, phew, phew.
Yeah. Well, because it's a lot of effort to throw those arrows.
Well, okay. So from my point of view and from a story in the universe point of view, I would argue that Slade wouldn't have the Mirakuru in him. So he doesn't have that strength. That would be what I'd say. Because they cured him just like they cured Roy. So I don't know why he would have it in him. I mean, I guess he could have traces.
But if Waller, but, I mean, again, if Waller's behind it, might she have access to it?
Possibly.
I don't know.
Should I... How much out of universe, how much behind the scenes things should I share with you on that theory? Because do you want to know something else I found out from Stephen Amell?
You can tell me later. I don't know if we want to get into that.
Okay. All right. Well, this was from the same interview.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. So, I mean, because I'm not – other than some casting announcements.
You know what? I won't say it. It was in this interview. If you watch that behind the Arrow after show there, he mentioned something about the Mirakuru and that, and I won't tell you right now. So if you're interested, you can hear that, or maybe we'll talk about it later.
Okay. All right. That's cool. So anyway, you know, just another idea, and I'm really enjoying this season because they're moving things along. I was talking to one of my friends, and, you know, it's like they move their storylines along so quickly. And they were like, yeah, but I'd like to, they were saying they wanted a little more time to think about, you know, oh, did Roy do it or not? You know, why did he confess right away? I'm like, well, they just, you know, each episode, it seems like we've got another potential person. Oh, Komodo showed up. Well, it's gotta be him. Oh no, it wasn't him. Okay. Merlin. Yeah. Merlin's there. Yeah. It's gotta be Merlin. Nope. Oh, okay. Roy. Okay. Roy did it. No, he didn't do it. So, you know, we still have the overall mystery from the beginning of the season now. We're six episodes in. Who killed Sarah? We still don't know. We still are getting the same, you know, theories. We're just kind of eliminating suspects one by one. And we're running out of people. I don't, you know, who else could it be? It's like, it could possibly be this new archer we saw on the show this week, Cupid.
Oh, right.
Cupid's stupid.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't think it's
right, because I don't think Sarah would have recognized that person. So it's
also, you know, I don't think she'd have been talented enough to kill Black Canary. But
she got those guys in their knees. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
That would hurt really to get an arrow in your knee, arrow in the kneecap.
Yeah. Arrow to the knee. Yeah.
Arrow to the knee.
Arrow to the knee. Yeah. That hurts.
So anyway, great. You know, more clues about who did or did not do it. And
now you said Cupid is still on the table. Anybody else? How about Shadow? Shadow still on the table?
Yeah, Shadow still could potentially be on the table. One of the things Felicity said, it was not someone of a normal height, you know, that was using a bow. So I don't know. Do we know any, like, midgets that are on Mirakuru? Do we have any midgets on the show? Oh, the Huntress. But she uses a crossbow.
Well, that's different than a bow.
That is different than a bow, but it's usually fires shorter rounds. You know, the arrows are not, they're like half size usually or something. Like, they're more like flechettes, I think. But, you know, that's, I'm just, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to go through all the people that would have, A, access to arrows, B, have a reason to kill her. You know, I mean, Ra's al Ghul's kind of still up there, but I don't know. I feel like they kind of eliminated him, and that also seems a little obvious with what they're playing towards.
Yeah, all right.
I'm trying to go for a little off-book idea here. So, I don't know. Anybody else that you can think of that I'm not naming?
No, nobody that you haven't named. I can't think of anybody. I hadn't thought of the Huntress, although I'm not... That's not really top of my list for sure, just right. Because I don't know what the motivation would be there. But
right. Again, making Oliver suffer, eliminating competition, hired vigilantes.
Yeah, where we left her, that doesn't fit. It doesn't fit with the character. So
right. I'm right.
I don't know.
So anyway. Yeah, lots of mystery there, and we are three episodes away from the mid-season finale here, and I'm trying to think, like, where they're going with this. So I feel that they probably will resolve the Sarah storyline by the mid-season. I think maybe we'll get some more information about Ray Palmer and what he's up to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we'll also kind of get the reveal of Ra's al Ghul coming into the city, you know, to look for Merlin or something like that. I think, you know, usually what they seem to do in the seasons is in the first, let's say, third here, kind of, it's a little more than a third, but before the winter break. They set up a lot of the characters that we need to know about. And then the middle of the season is, you know, there's some give and take, there's some different episodes, but they push the characters and they push our heroes, so they seem to, you know, it's the second act, right? They get in trouble, and it's like, how are they ever going to solve this? And, oh my gosh, they've only got five episodes left. How are they going to wrap this stuff all up? And then at the end of the season, they kind of, you know, pull it all together.
Right. Well,
blow us away.
I'm thinking that when they find out whoever killed Sarah, the reason why they killed Sarah is kind of going to drive the storyline for the second half of the season.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Because we still don't even know why they killed her. I mean, much less who it is, but...
Right. Yeah, I mean, that's true. There's supposition and stuff, and for why she came... Well, we do know why she came back now, because she was looking for Merlin, so... but I'm sure it's all tied into all of that stuff there, so... keep watching. I don't know how much more we're going to get next week. The previews were not very specific. They seemed to be showing just kind of one storyline.
Yeah, but it didn't seem to focus much on that.
Yeah,
So Roy's not... We don't think... And he doesn't think he's guilty of killing Sarah. So he believes that now because Oliver, you know, he did the meditation of truth with him. What did he get out of his box? Was that a candle?
Yeah, it was like a scented candle.
So
I mean, I'm just assuming it was scented, because if it's not a scented candle, like, what use is burning a candle?
Well, maybe
really,
it was
right?
Like one of those mosquito candles, you know, that you burn in the summer. You guys have those out there?
Yes. Yep. We do. We get a lot of mosquitoes out here.
Okay. so that he doesn't get distracted by buzzing things, and I don't know. So he got a candle out, I guess, a lot like he experienced. That's what these flashbacks were for, to show how he learned this technique, I guess.
Right. That was kind of all the flashbacks were good for.
That's all they've been good for all season, it seems like.
Just kind of setting up what is happening in the present day, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to know more about what's going on back then. I guess, see, that all fits into your Waller theory. If she's going to tie into it soon, especially after they figure out who kills Sarah. Then you could hear more about Waller back in the past, in 5 years ago when he was in Hong Kong.
Yeah, because it could be something that he did that just pissed her off so much that she feels the need to get back at him. Though, like, why wait this long? I don't know.
No, yeah, but I think it's bigger than that. Something that whatever's going on in Hong Kong too. But okay, so Roy's not guilty. At least
he's not guilty of killing Sarah.
Right.
But he is guilty. Now, this is something that we knew about, but interestingly enough, I didn't think they were really ever going to address this. But, you know, he did kill a cop, and it was not really dealt with in the season two. Right? I don't think there was anything else about it, even in that episode, because, of course, they didn't mention it to him.
Well, that was I don't think that was the finale, maybe the penultimate episode of last season.
Correct. Yeah, I believe it was episode 22.
And I think you and I addressed that, and I hope this police officer's family will forgive me, but I completely forgot about it since that episode. But I know you and I talked about it, pretty sure we did anyway, about how kind of brutal it was, and hey, where's he going to go from here? And you know, that was
right,
because that was bad. Even though he wasn't in control of himself, he still did it. I mean, that's in the real world, that's you still have serious consequences for that,
right? And he went from having to deal with, oh my god, I killed Sarah, and it's like, I'm so sorry, Laurel, and you know, I've just got to go, and Diggle wanting to deal with him. It's like, you can't just let him go. I mean, he just said he killed somebody, and Oliver's like, you know, you let him go. I think I know what's going on. We'll talk to him. It's like everybody
bad
else
parenting
is, you know,
right there.
Well, yeah, it's like, I'll take care of my son. Oh my god, I can't believe you killed somebody. It's like, and then Roy killed somebody. It's like, no, he didn't. It's okay. Well, he did, but it's like, he didn't mean it. I can't believe you killed that guy 6 years ago. And it's just, I'll get into Oliver's hypocrisy in a second.
Yes.
So
what should be done?
But then, you know, sorry?
What are they going to do?
Well, that's the thing. It's like, so now Roy, okay, oh, good, I didn't kill Sarah. Wait a second, I killed a cop? Why didn't you tell, you know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel that there's, the team is, like, tight enough with Lance, Captain Lance now, like, they could, I mean, because I don't know what the cops think about this. I mean, I'm sure the police officers would not want to know that the Arrow's sidekick killed their guy. I mean, though he had an arrow stuck in his chest, or did he stab him and, like, pull the arrow out? I can't remember what it was, but I'm sure they would say, oh, you know, this guy got shot with an arrow.
Yeah, and I would think that because of the chaos going on in the city that night, you know, they are assuming it was associated with the Mirakuru army.
Right.
So I'm sure, you know, nothing else has been looked into. I'm sure they could, from a, you know, a safe point of view, they could just kind of let it blow over. But from an ethical point of view, what do you do?
I think Lance, you know, he would probably be upset, but he's like, you know, well, if you've dealt with it, like, that's good enough for me, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, I feel that the show is not just going to blow it over. At some point, it'll probably come up to Roy again. I mean, you know, if it's one of those things where they're doing something and, you know, a cop kind of gets in the way and it may just cause Roy to freeze, you know, just because he's not sure about himself anymore? I don't know.
Well, he's not. I don't know that he's not sure about himself, but he has honor, and he believes, you know, to be a hero, you've got to do the right thing, and now he's got this guilt. So
yeah,
he's going to have to deal with it in some way, and he's going to have to, at least in his own mind, make up for it.
He can donate money to the policeman's ball or something like that.
They all dress up during the policeman's ball, don't they?
Yeah.
They all,
and then there's the secret policeman's other ball, which is like a music concert that some British artists did back in the 80s.
Yeah, I think so. Sting was there.
Okay, so But that wasn't – that was kind of the B storyline. The A storyline was obviously about Ted Grant, the Wildcat Killer, the Southpaw of Starling Southpaw, and this all these dead bodies showing up. And of course, you know, Oliver's very quick to accuse him of being a killer because he killed one guy 6 years ago, and now – you know, there's a number of bodies strung up in a warehouse. Then there's a guy strung up in his gym, because of course, you know, when you go around killing people, obviously, if you're crazy enough to string people up and beat them to death with brass knuckles, you're going to hang one up in your place of business and in your secret cave, which is not as big as Oliver's, which was funny. So. At no point did I really feel that Ted was guilty,
no.
Like that he was really doing this.
No, I don't think we ever were meant to.
Right. I mean, it seemed like a ruse. And as he was pointing out, you know, he goes, we're being led somewhere. And then, of course, you know, what is about halfway through, we find out that it's his old partner, his sidekick, his protege, so to speak.
Yep.
What's the guy's name? Isaac Stanzler. Right. Yeah, Isaac Stanzler.
That's right. Yeah, Stanzler. So, I was writing it down to based on what I heard it, so I thought it sounded like Stanzler to me.
Yeah.
That's a horrible name for a sidekick. I'm glad your name isn't Isaac Stanzler.
Well, I believe Stanzler is a shout out to Wendy Stanzler, who is one of the directors of Arrow. She's directed like four episodes, I think.
So Wildcat in the comics didn't actually have a sidekick.
He did. I think it was, and you're going to think this is just me being a funny guy, but I think it was Wildcat Jr.
Okay.
You know, there's like a Teen Titans kind of thing, right? You got Flash and Kid Flash, you got Arrow and Speedy, and I think it was like Wildcat Jr. But, usually in the stories that I've read with Wildcat, now I wasn't reading him back in the day, but, he was a member of the Justice Society. Not the Justice League. The Justice Society was the superheroes, the Golden Age superheroes from Earth One, whereas the Justice League is the Silver Age heroes from Earth Two. And he's usually portrayed as a much older guy. Sometimes he's not the brightest of the bulb because he was a professional boxer and he took quite a few blows to the head. So he's a little... And
I could have been number one, Howard.
Yeah, yeah. Put him in. Put me in. Put me in. I can do this. Wrong way. Turn around. Okay, over there. you know, he wears a Wildcat costume that has a cat mask that kind of comes down. He was in some of the Justice League cartoons that Warner Brothers did. Was it the what do they call those? It was like Justice League. I guess it was just Justice League. The ones that were done as part of the DC animated universe that, you know, that tie in with Batman, the animated series and all
uh-huh.
that. So he's in some of those. But, yeah, he's usually with the Justice Society. And but I think he did have kind of like a teen, you know, sidekick at some point. Not all the time.
It wasn't like Wild Kitty or anything, huh? It was Wildcat Jr.
Soft Kitty, I think.
You have failed the city.
So,
okay.
But Oliver does point out, you know, sorry, Big Kitty, you have failed this city. You know, there's too many vigilantes in this town, or the town's not big enough for all of us, or something like that. And continues accusing him totally unfairly. And I felt that I couldn't tell if Oliver was being serious or if he was just trying to see if he could get a rise out of Ted because he was kind of pissed about him hanging out with Laurel.
Yeah.
Or training, not from like a romantic relationship, but because Oliver said, no, I'm not going to train you. And it's because I'm protecting you. And it's not the right thing to do because whatever Oliver's reasons are. Whereas, I mean, she needs an outlet. And then, you know, he finds out she went ahead and doing it anyway. And he just keeps being a hypocrite about, you know, this guy killed somebody 6 years ago, and it's like, Oliver, in the first season alone, I think, you know, you killed like 27 people.
Yeah.
So get off your high horse.
I, it almost bothered me he was doing it so much, you know, that he kind of mm-hmm. went down that path. But I really do think ultimately it was to protect Laurel. I mean, he really doesn't want her to do this because he knows it's so dangerous. And he
does have her best interest. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
But he also knows, look, I mean, maybe it is what she needs. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, when your kids are doing something that you don't want them to do, and but you know you need them to discover it on their own.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. I think he knows what's right and just wants to protect her, but he was just going about it really wrong. I think he was letting his emotions get the better of him.
Well, it's like we've talked about before. Oliver kind of has one speed, and he goes until he realizes, oh, I'm going totally the wrong way here. And then he kind of does a 180 and turns around and just does the exact opposite. You know, it's like, okay, killing people is the best thing to do. Nope, you know what? That is the worst thing to do. I'm not going to kill anybody ever. You know what? I'm not even going to let you kill somebody because it's my town. I'm in control here. And it's like, dude, just take a breath. You know, everybody has to live their own life in their own way. And everybody's going to do it a little bit differently than you. And you just lighten up, dude.
Yeah.
He's so angry.
Yeah, it's hard when there's violence and killing, you know, in the mix as you're making this argument. It's hard to argue for what's best because none of it's sort of the lesser of two evils. I think if she's going to be involved in the things that she wants to be involved in and helping and fighting crime and going after these things and finding Sarah's killer, ultimately it really needs – she needs to be able to protect herself.
Yeah. And Laurel's in overdrive too. I mean, she's really training hard. I mean, in just a week's time here, she has, you know, improved tremendously. And then in this one episode, you know, she discovers that, oh, look, I'm not rattled anymore. You know, you taught me this. And he's, you know, well, just, I don't know. I feel like they went from not moving on her character to moving, like, way too fast. I mean, she's talking about, you know, she's being really blatant, too. It's like, I need you to teach me to work outside the law, outside the courtroom. And it's like, not only are you, you know, the district attorney, but now you want to battle for justice correctly during the day and, like, do vigilante stuff at night. That's a recipe for disaster in several different ways. I mean, again, we've talked about this and I think it was, who was it? Somebody pointed out I think it was on Facebook that, like, you brought this up. I think it was Armando. He pointed out, you know, you brought this up way back in season two, or maybe at the end of season one, that, you know, we were going to see Laurel's sister die or some tragedy occur that drives her to become Black Canary. And I think we are full steam ahead on this.
Yeah, I do too.
Based on the internet.
Let me just say, because I have heard a lot of backlash about Laurel. A lot of people that are, you know, involved in discussing the Arrow on the internet and things, they don't like Laurel. They really do not like Laurel. And, you know, I think you and I have both fallen into that camp at certain points throughout the three seasons. But mm-hmm. I'm warming up to her a little bit. I'm kind of okay with where they're taking her right now. And, you know, you said it was going a little fast, and I agree with that, but I almost think it's necessary to get her there fast. This would be her crucible.
Why do you think that?
Why do I think that? Because if you draw it out, it gets boring. It gets less interesting. Then she's just somebody that's training. She needs to go through that crucible, like Stephen Amell was saying. And I think Sarah's death and dealing with it this way is her way of coping. Plus, not just this death, but everything else that she went through with Brother Blood and with her alcoholism and dealing with her father. I think this is her crucible.
Well, Mark Guggenheim did point out in an interview he did this week that I read, I think it was on Comic Book Resources, that Thea and Laurel were two of the harder characters to write for, just to be able to find things for them to do. And now, after kind of, you know, these are my words, just kind of messing around with them for about a season or a season and a half, they finally realize that, okay, now it's kind of okay for us to start moving with their storylines. You know, obviously Thea training and doing all the things she's doing, and Laurel doing the same thing. There were times at the beginning of the series when I thought Laurel was a really interesting character. I didn't think she was acted the best by Katie Cassidy, but I think everybody was kind of finding their sea legs for the characters they were in. But, you know, we got to see Laurel's brawling ability, I want to say like fifth or sixth episode of the series,
really,
when
yeah.
she knocks down some guy that was coming in to beat up Oliver at the club that he and Tommy were working at the kind of the pre-Verdant club. Or maybe they were at somebody else's club, I can't remember. But she, like, you know, takes some guy down, and, you know, we know she's been trained by her father a little bit, or she, you know, has some fighting skill. So she's kind of recapturing all that, and I appreciate what they're trying to do with the character, and, I too am enjoying this because she actually has something to do rather than, it did feel like she was treading water there for a long time.
Yeah.
Just, being her, being mopey, having alcoholic problems, which, you know, nothing to belittle or anything like that, but for this character that's supposedly pretty important, and again, as we discussed mostly for last season, you know, it was, they had to take her all the way down so that they can bring, you know, build her back up here and turn her into this hero that supposedly she's going to be at some point.
Well, you know, I don't hear the same kind of complaining about Thea, and maybe it's just a midriff. Maybe Laurel needs to start showing a little skin, but, they took her, I think, faster than Laurel.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
end of the season, people lied to her. Well, I guess her mother died, close to the end of the season there. And then people are lying. She's like, I'm done. And then, hey, over the summer she goes and she becomes this fighting power machine.
Yeah. So, since you brought up Thea, let me just bring up this point. So, I mentioned that Ollie Verdant posted on our Facebook another potential reason why the midriff may be showing, and they thought that it may be due to the fact that they're trying to channel the archer Artemis from Young Justice, who often is running around with an exposed female arrow or female archer with an exposed midriff.
which some people have speculated that's who they're sort of nudging her towards,
mm-hmm.
that character. I think we mentioned that maybe last season somewhere.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be a perfect fit, but, kind of close enough. Maybe she's another suspect in our Sarah murder then.
Yeah, but she was not in town when it happened. I don't know about that one.
Oh, that is true. Yeah, because she was down in Court of Maltese.
We don't know that for sure, but...
Sure, we can't know for a fact. Wow. So let's see what else, there was somebody else that you thought of, here in the notes though. You did want to, you were mentioning Isabel Rochev.
Well, I got to thinking, and this is our conundrum, right? Whenever somebody dies or we think they die, are they actually gone? And I know we saw Isabel get taken out at the end of last season, but, it pretty much ended there, and she was supposedly a major player last season, but didn't.
She was pretty hopped up on Mirakuru, too.
That's right. So, we haven't heard anything from her, and she did have the Mirakuru. I don't even really remember if they cured her or just tried to kill her. But she, I got to thinking, well, possibly her. I would put her above the list, above Huntress.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I only throw Huntress out there because she has used arrows at some point, but, and again, in a different way.
Who hasn't in this city?
Right. All the people wearing masks. I mean, we are getting to be, pretty much there's like three people on the show that don't wear masks or haven't worn masks or will not wear masks at some point, I guess.
They need to get Felicity a mask while she sits down at the computer.
Right. That'd be great. I can see one with like little butterflies on the side or something like that. So, hey, this is something else. This is not really apropos of anything to do with the guilty episode, but it was only percolating in my brain due to all the Mirakuru discussion for this week. So before I throw this last thing out that I want to talk about, was there anything else about guilty characters and guilty consciences and stuff like that you wanted to address?
Well, it seems like just about every character can have, you know, some sort of guilt about something, some of them more serious than others. And I think they have to just understand that, you know, I mean, what's the old saying, you know, he who throws stones laughs hardest.
Oh, no, I don't know. He without guilt, throw the first stone.
Yeah. Yeah. Something about that. And glass houses and guilty. Anyway, but you know, everybody's
Billy
got something.
So
it's all how you, a lot like what Ted Knight. Why do I always call him Ted Knight? Ted Grant was saying, you know, it's how you get up.
Because you are a star, man. That's why.
It's how you get up. You know, everybody's going to get knocked down, but
right. That's exactly, you know, that's a great point. And the other thing that Oliver pointed out to Laurel, it's, people were giving Laurel a lot of good advice in this episode. The other thing was, I feel like Oliver was doing things to kind of swat at Laurel. You know, it's like, would you just stop being like this? And he's like, you know, do you see what's going on with the game? And she's like, yeah, I know what's happening here. And he's like, well, you obviously don't, because you don't realize the game is not a game.
Ah, psych.
Yeah, it's jerk. Come on, dude. Like, I know you guys used to date and stuff like that, and it's like, I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's a. I enjoy the emotion that happens between these characters because everybody's been through so many different things. It's got to be crazy for the actors to try to keep track of. Okay, so how am I feeling against this character now? It's like, oh wait, am I doing a flashback or am I? Am I in, you know, now? So, but, okay. So the one other thing I wanted to mention was, remember last season, there was a big, strong character that took Mirakuru going by the name of Cyrus Gold.
Absolutely.
And we did a lot of speculation on him because that character in the comics, Cyrus Gold, becomes a, villain slash zombie called, Solomon Grundy.
Right.
But then they did nothing else with him, right? Oliver defeated him, and again, we feel that he died, which, of course, is the first step to becoming a zombie or, you know, a zombie supervillain. And so thinking about all this Mirakuru stuff, I'm like, I wonder if they're going to bring him back. And I was reading this aforementioned article with Mark Guggenheim, and they were asking him, what's the difference between, you know, working with powers in Flash versus, you know, no superpowers in Arrow. And he said, well, you know, we introduced the stuff, the superpowers, kind of with the Mirakuru and, you know, having the Flash over in Arrow, but then we've moved everything and that kind of all resides over for the Flash's TV show now. So my thought is, I wonder where Cyrus Gold was from. Maybe, just for giggles, he was from Central City, and that's where they shipped the body back to after he died. And then what happened was a particle accelerator exploded, and what would happen to a Mirakuru-laced body if it were exposed to these X particles and dark matter and stuff like this? It could, of course, become reanimated and become very strong and turn into Solomon Grundy.
Whoa. Nice.
So we might be talking about that on Scarlet Velocity at some point later this season.
Excellent.
I hope so, because that would be really cool. But now they're going, shoot, oh my God, this guy came up with it. We got to scratch that off. We got to come up with something else.
Or no, they should just use it. Matter of fact, they should call you and say, hey, can you fill us in with some more details to help us with this episode?
Why, certainly I can do that. Thank you.
We're valuable resources. Come on, man.
Oh, I really would. It would make me feel so good to know that we are doing. You know that people on the show on Arrow or even on The Flash listen to this podcast. That would be great to know, just off the top of my head. I mean, I think that would be cool. But also, I'd love to have them go, man, I can't believe these guys are talking about this. We're working so hard, and you know they're seeing right through the ideas. But you know they have to be committed to kind of following through with that, and then we go, yay, we were correct.
And that's not a bad thing that we're speculating and sometimes accurate. That's awesome. That shows that their writing is really flowing in a logical way. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. it's good to have surprises, but it's also got to make sense, and they do that very well. So, and if they were to call you for some tips on that script, I would be happy to give you the night off, you know, because that's what a good leader does is they help with that.
Oh, we'll see, because as a good leader, I felt I was going to have to find a replacement for myself, because of course I have to provide for you. That was, I mean,
that's where you went with that. Huh? Okay. All right. Well, I guess I can see how you got there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can do the references this week if you'd like to, if you feel like you're the hero here and you want
to,
you know, be Mr. Stand-Up Guy, you can do the references.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Okay. Well, actually, why don't you start that? That's an intimidating list right there.
Okay. I won't abandon you.
You won't abandon me? Okay.
No.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, I will say thank you very much to my co-host Josh for seeing this reference, because it completely, in two viewings, it completely blew past my head. But Roy mentions that he is on the roof, that he is the Overwatch, which is the name of Mark Guggenheim's recent book that he just wrote. And I didn't even put two and two together on that. So thank you very much for that.
Subliminal advertising for his book.
You know, it might be. I would have loved is for them to have cut to commercial right after that and have him had an Overwatch commercial. That would have been great.
Or Stephen Amell could have just gone, you know, Roy, you're on Overwatch by Mark Guggenheim.
nice shout out. It turns out Oliver seems to be the one that gave China White her nickname just because he could not pronounce her Chinese name. Which I'm not going to try right now because I don't have it written down, and I probably would butcher it as well.
China Wei. I think it was something like that.
That sounds right. Yep. So Wildcat's gym is located at 9th and Hazen Street, which is a nod to the Dondi cartoon artist Irwin Hazen, who also co-created Wildcat. So it's nice that they do that, you know, that they give these shout-outs to these different the creators and stuff like that. And you know, or the writers or the artists or whatever it is. So that was pretty cool. Not really a comic book reference, but I wanted to look up the names of these street gangs. I was really hoping that Culebras and the Halcones were going to stand for Jets and Sharks, which I thought would have been really funny. That would have been a nice little West Side Story reference. But Culebras is Spanish for snake. And Halcones is Spanish for hawks. So that makes kind of sense. You know, the snakes and the hawks are kind of two, you know, mortal enemies locked in combat in the desert, stuff like that. There was a new arrow that he used in this one.
Oh, not just a new arrow.
The original arrow.
The ultimate arrow. The arrow that I have been dying to see for 3 years. And it was beautifully done.
It was done, and Mark Guggenheim tweeted that this was all Kato Shimizu's idea, that she should be the one that is commended for putting this in there. They had talked about how can we put the boxing glove arrow into the show and not just make it, hey, there's a boxing glove arrow. It had to feel organic. And, of course, what better place than in a gym with boxing gloves around to use the boxing glove arrow? It was brilliant. I wasn't expecting it. It happened quickly. They didn't do it. You know, it wasn't like a huge setup, and it wasn't like, hey, look, I'm about to fire this. You know, it was very organic and part of the show. And I texted you, all caps, boxing glove arrow. I gave a big shout in my house. My mom, who's visiting, is like, what the hell?
I was so excited when I got that. And I was still 2 hours from being able to even see it.
Yeah, I'm sorry to spoil that for you.
Oh, you didn't spoil it. It made me more excited. And I tried to ignore the fact that really the arrow would have just gone through the boxing glove and into his skull.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's ignore that.
Yeah, we'll
would have been.
That.
It's like, I got you. Uh-oh. What happened? He seems to have an arrow in his head. I have no idea who did that. must have been the person that beat up all these other guys. And then Isaac gives Roy his nickname, Arsenal, which they used it a couple times. I thought that was also a really good use of a way to, how do you introduce this character's nickname, you know, Arsenal, from the comics. I thought maybe they were going to, you know, do a Red Arrow at one point, and then they come up with Arsenal here, that he's just that you are just a weapon in his arsenal. And Oliver's like, hey, that's pretty cool. Maybe we should call you that. Because he tried calling him Speedy, and that didn't work. Nobody liked that.
He definitely didn't like that.
And then we get this character that I mentioned earlier at the end of the episode, Cupid, who looks like she may have been in some of the DC Nation shorts on Cartoon Network, the Green Arrow ones where he's got the talking bow. I don't know too much about Cupid other than from the mythology of Cupid and stuff like that. So I'm not sure what she brings to the show. But did you notice that she appeared in the episode before the very end?
I did not notice this until one of our faithful listeners pointed it out.
I hadn't had a chance to go back, but in the beginning, when Laurel comes out of the gym, she walks around the corner to talk to Oliver, and all the people have gathered in front of the gym, where Wildcat's gym, where they've just found the body. And there's a crowd gathered out front because they want to see what's going on. But there was something that bothered me as they were panning the crowd. There appeared to be one person that was lit. Which means they had a light on them, which is usually what they do, to draw attention to something. But the camera didn't stop or focus on him. It just kind of went by. But for some reason, that person really stood out to me. It was a red-haired woman. And I'll put a photo up on our Facebook page of the comparison of the two. I'm not sure why she was there. So, I don't know what's going on with that, but I too saw somebody post that on our Facebook page, and it was very obvious the second time when I went through the episode. But I don't know what her game is.
Obsessed groupie?
What's that?
Obsessed groupie?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
That's what it seems like.
I feel like just with the name Cupid, for whatever reason, and just her voice was kind of unnaturally high, I feel like it's almost like a Harley Quinn sort of character. Mm. You know, she's a little nuts. I don't think you saw what the arrows look like in this, but there was there's a still out there with her, and her arrow tips actually look like little hearts.
Yeah, that was also in the preview for next week.
Oh, okay.
They showed the arrow tips.
Yeah, so I don't know. That seems interesting, but also seems like we're not going to get. I don't know what we're going to get from the episode. So
yeah, it's got some potential cheese factor there, but which just doesn't bother me. I know some people don't care for that sometimes. But
they've been pretty intense this season, though.
Yeah, they have.
Say and then the episode after that is I think it's the eighth episode, right? So that would be the Flash Arrow crossover second parter. So.
Excited
for all
that.
You people that don't listen to our Scarlet Velocity podcast, you may have to listen that week because we will do the first part of The Flash, which is part one of the two-parter when they air that. I think it's the first week of December, and then we'll be covering the second part on this show here. Well, so I think that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice. Thanks for joining us.
I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We had a blast. This was a lot of fun talking about it.
Definitely I did. I had more of a blast than you did because, I had a full blast and you only had a sidekick blast.
Did I only have a sidekick blast? Okay. Well, I tell you what, if I have to be a sidekick, I can't think of anybody I'd rather be a sidekick with than you.
Aw, shucks.
So as long as I have a cool name, I don't want to be like Kid J or something.
Well, we really have to work on not having the same initials then.
Yeah.
That's very difficult to do
stuff.
It does
make it hard, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, well,
anyway, yes, I definitely do not think of you as a sidekick, Josh. You are a co-host, and I am a co-host, and we host together.
Aw, single tear.
You complete me.
I can't quit you, Jay. Wait.
That was from that other movie, though. Oh. No, let's not do that.
Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, if you did enjoy this show as much as we're enjoying this banter, make sure you leave some feedback for us on iTunes. You can also contact us. We enjoy getting messages from you. You can contact us at email, greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or on Twitter, @greenjusticepod. And you can also visit our Facebook page, as so many of you are doing, at facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
I just thought of your sidekick name. You shall be banter.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
that's about my only talent, so it's okay.
That is not your only talent. You can also check out the other shows that we do, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Case Files, and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast, which are both available via randomchatter.com. And also all of our shows are available in the iTunes store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And, of course, if you enjoy the episode of this podcast here, please be sure to tell your friends about us and point them to our feed. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.